The word today is righteous. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. One of the most important terms used in the Bible is righteousness. A critical part of being righteous before God is trusting in Him. Righteousness is not something we generate, but is a gift from Jesus Christ, God's Son, applied to us so that we are forgiven. It is a gift of God granted to those who will believe in Jesus Christ. Here to share more about this wonderful part of spiritual life is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Righteous.
Today we talk about a term that is used in the Bible. It's righteousness. And some people are a little bit confused as to what spiritual righteousness is. Well, it definitely doesn't mean perfection, but it does mean a ton of trust in God. We're taking a look at a verse in the scriptures today, Proverbs 4, verse 18 and 19, and it says this, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." You can see a contrast that is drawn here that is carried through the entire Bible, light and dark. Now, when we're talking about physical light and darkness, there's no spiritual contrast there. This is when it pertains to human behavior. Wickedness versus righteousness, evil versus goodness. And this, I don't know if I'd say balance, but this dichotomy, this distinction takes place throughout the entirety of the Bible, where sin is likened to darkness, being in a darkened room where you fumble, you can't find your way, and righteousness is likened to the light of the sun, where it is clear, your path is clear, and your deeds can clearly be seen to be godly. There are consequences to whether a person is righteous or wicked. You notice here in verse 18, the righteous person starts with a gleam of light and it broadens until the full light of day. The wicked are stumbling around, and they don't even know what ultimately makes them fall. Now, maybe you ascertained that there's a final comment in this or a final thought about all this. That is, the full day would be likened to eternal life. The darkness that makes them stumble, that stumbling and falling would be a person's destruction. So there is a symbolism here that you have a choice in life, or you have two paths in life. One is to follow the way of righteousness, which leads to God, and the other, which is the way of following the flesh, the sin, the worldliness, otherwise known as the darkness, and that leads to your destruction. I remember Jesus talking similar about a distinction. And he said in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." One of the things that we tried to teach our boys as they were growing up is that you never want to just automatically do what the majority of the world does. Now, we're not talking about the fact that people get married or that people would buy a house or things like that. We're talking morally. You want to ascertain, to find out, is what is being done by the population good, righteousness, light, Or is it evil, unrighteousness, wickedness, and darkness? Because you will see this very clearly. There is a distinction between the people of God and the people of the world. And we taught our boys that you never want to do just what's popular in the world. This argument that since everyone's doing it, it must be okay. Or because the government allows it, it's perfectly fine. Christians need higher standards. We have to live according to what will be pleasing to God, what will satisfy the Lord. And as such, there's many things that we will not do just because we're believers in Christ. Our moral standards will be different. Good example of this would be cohabitation. The way the world will live together and have sexual relationships outside of marriage. The Christian needs to have a higher standard, that we will honor God with our bodies, that we will see marriage as an institution that is the appropriate relationship for sexual relationships. And so there becomes this distinction between light and darkness. Let's ask the question, how does a person become righteous? Let's say you would like to explore this. You'd like to know, how do you become righteous before a holy God? How is that possible? The key to all of it is trusting God. This is the key to finding righteousness before God, is to put your trust in Him, and specifically, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I remember back in Genesis chapter 6, there was a man named Noah who was warned by God that there would be a flood that would destroy the world. In Genesis 6 verse 9, Noah is described as a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. That's what it says. Now that blameless doesn't mean perfect. There is no human on this earth that has ever been perfect except the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason he was perfect is because he is the Son of God who came down to this earth and took on human flesh, took on human form. If not for that, he wouldn't have been perfect either. Any two sinners that get together to create another human are not going to create perfection. They're going to create another sinner. The Son of God who assumed human flesh, he is the only one who has been sinless among the human race. So what does it mean when Noah was called blameless? Well, that means there were no big stories to tell about him. He didn't have any major transgressions whereby, like for instance, there'd be news articles of an affair or that he had been involved in a business that had been corrupt, things like this. That's what it means to be blameless, that no one can point at you and say, well, there's obvious things that you have done that make you tremendously worldly and impure. That's what it means to be blameless. It doesn't mean sinless. But wow, what a great example for us that Noah followed God faithfully. And there is the key, that he trusted in God. He believed it when God said that he was going to flood the world and destroy it. So he got to work on an ark. And then we take a look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. And he called Abraham outside and said, look up at the stars in the sky. Look at the heavens, count the stars, so shall your offspring be. And it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. You're starting to see this pattern that develops, and I'd like for you to look for that as you go through the scriptures. God is tremendously pleased when individuals listen to what he says and believe it. And that's why it's really important for you today, because I'm going to hit you with the gospel of Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he has come to this earth in order to redeem us. He gave his life upon the cross. That's specifically why he came, so that he could, in his power, defeat death and Satan. It was not weakness that took Jesus to the cross. it was the strength and the love of God that had him do this. And you're called to put your trust in Christ. And that's what I'd like you to do. I want you to seek righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. It is his merit. It is his goodness that brings you the forgiveness of sins. It won't be anything in you. You're not going to win any brownie points, any points with God for putting your faith in Jesus. But God will be pleased that you trust him, that you love him, and he will credit you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be granted eternal life, resurrection from the dead, and eternal life with God. There was another man named Habakkuk who many, many years later was a prophet over the people of God in the Old Testament. And there was a statement that the Lord made about the wicked, those in darkness. And it says this, "See," in reference to the wicked, "he's puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by faith." And so we see three examples in the Bible, and there's many others, of individuals who believed what God had said to them through a prophet, through a preacher, through the words of Jesus, through an angelic intermediary. Whenever the word of God came, you're called to believe on it, as these people did. And that pleases the Lord, and he credits us with righteousness. Why don't people put more of their trust and faith in God? I think it's because of sinful pride or arrogance. We want to be independent. We want to be self-sufficient. But that won't get you eternal life. That won't get you forgiveness of your sins. And that's why you have to repent of your pride. Put your pride aside and trust in God. We're sinners. Christ won redemption for us, and he alone can save you from death and the grave. So please be like Noah, Abraham, and Habakkuk, these people who trusted what God said. I ask you, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last." Why don't you put that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation?
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.